Well, welcome, 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 Mr. Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Thank you for coming and joining in today, and we're going to study together, get back into our study of the letter J in the ABCs, and talking about judgment and judging. Judgment and judging. This thing's been going on for quite some time now, hasn't it? We have been over, I think, 20 lessons so far, and have a few more to go over. We are talking about judgment and judging, and the last thing that we talked about whenever we came together was talking about human judgment, rules regarding human judgment, if you remember. And those truths that we learn, I don't know how I'm getting so, I'm trying to get started here, and I don't know what's going on. I guess the enemy's doing this mess. He's always up to something, but anyway, we're just going to keep on moving here. We was talking about rules regarding human or man's judgment, if you remember, and we went over quite a few of them, and they do apply to the Christian specifically, having to do with judgment and judging and human judgment, but they also apply to the unsaved, to mankind. These things about judgment are truth, and they're from God's Word, and God's Word applies to the unsaved also. They are responsible for, they're going to stand before God, and they're going to be judged by the book. By the book. They're going to be judged, we're going to be judged by the things that we did in the body, and the Lord Jesus told those people that he was talking to, he said, I didn't come to judge you, I come to save you. He said, but you're going to be judged in the end time, and you're going to be judged by the words that I'm speaking to you. Talking about this written word also. And this is the Lord's words. So we talked about the rules regarding human judgment, and we went over those, and we found that one should begin with self-judgment. You remember that? And it is to derive from spiritual mindedness. Of course, we know that that doesn't apply to the unsaved because the natural man doesn't understand the spiritual things of the Lord and the kingdom of God. And we talked about it should abound in love, Christ's love. They, of course, the unsaved can't know that either. That does apply to the Christian. It applies to everybody, but everybody doesn't love Christ. One should be aware and conscious that our judgment is coming, that we are going to stand before one of the seven judgments, I believe there are. We get into those later on, One of the seven judgments in the scriptures, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says, if you're saved. One should, if at all possible, not judge anything if he does not have to. Now, that is a doozy right there. Have you ever just, since we've been talking about this, have you on purpose tried to go through a day without judging anything? I mean, there is a relief and a satisfaction and a joy to that, that it just takes a monkey off your back from having to judge the unnecessary things that come into your mind during the day, going around in this wicked world and having to see the things, trying to avoid seeing things and hearing things and all that muck out there. But just going around and trying to not judge anything is a blessing. Because I'd venture to say that at least 50% of everything that we think about during the day and judge is not necessary. Because it's pushed and it's forced onto us. That's why the Lord said for us to come out and not to let our eyes see things, not to let our ears hear things, because our mind is going to evaluate it, and our heart's going to evaluate it, and there's some things that we just plain old don't need to think about. One should, if at all possible, not judge anything. He does not have to. Now, I remember when I was a young boy, even the unsaved did that. Everybody minded their own business. They didn't come running down the road when they found out that Mr. Such and Such tore his son's hind end up for stealing a horse. and getting in other people's business and stuff like that. It just didn't happen. But one should, if all possible, not judge anything. He's not have to. And we talked about those things, and today we're going to get into, then we went into the basis and the grounds and the foundations of human judgment. Yeah. Well, what are they? Well, sometimes God's Word is the grounds for our judgment. Sometimes circumstances and sometimes opinion. You see the differences in this judgment? There's so many different areas of judgment that an individual has to judge daily. I mean, let me ask you this. Just today, has there been any judgments that you've made that has strictly to do with God's Word? Of course there is. You're doing it right now. You judged yourself to sit down, that you judged God's Word to be true, that you would sit down and study God's Word and find out what saith the Lord. What about circumstances? Has there been something today because of circumstances you've had to make judgments about? Well, that has nothing to do with God necessarily to do with God's Word. They're two different things, two different judgments. What about opinion? Have you mentioned your opinion to somebody? If they ask your opinion today, that's a different kind of judgment. You see that? You see that thing? Sometimes moral law, excuse me, moral law. Morals have to do with, this is talking about not talking about the majority of citizens in this country now, but morality used to drive judgments, what people would do and what people wouldn't do, opening the doors for people and speaking kind words and just morality, doing the things that are moral, that are humans being kind to one another and treating one another with respect and dignity. Morals cause judgment sometimes and are the basis for judgment sometimes. Sometimes conscience, our conscience drives us, is the basis for our judgment sometimes. Sometimes nature itself, it's just natural. And they're destroying natural things in society today. Can you tell that? Can you tell that? They're trying to convince you that boys are girls and girls are boys and that boys are born girls so they can go and have medical surgery and surgically remove what they were born with and blobbity, blabbity, blab. And all that kind of nonsense, that's not natural. None of it's natural. And but they're removing natural things from society and from the psyche of humans and society and where we dwell. They're removing that, and they're bringing in this filthiness, and they're putting it in front of your face 24 hours a day on that television and on the radio and all other places in society, on signs and billboards and everywhere else, so they can program you to think that wicked things are natural, and they're not. They're not. That's why it's very important for you to understand what God's Word says and to stay in it so you can keep your mind grounded on what saith the Lord, and it can't be programmed by anything else. Sometimes judgment is based on apostolic authority. We're under the Pauline epistles, the books that he written as far as our salvation and our walk having to do with the Lord in the New Testament. But the whole book is for us, but it doesn't apply. The whole book doesn't apply to us. But nevertheless, it is God's Word, and it is pure, and it is to be read and studied. And we are to study the things that also do not apply to us. There's some things in that book that are written strictly to the Jews, corporately, and individually. There are some things that are written strictly to the Gentiles. There are some things in there that are written strictly to the body of Christ, the bride. And you have to rightly divide them things and know. Now, there's a lot of things that we can apply, we can use spiritually, and we can go by spiritually, but they weren't written to us. But that doesn't mean that we can't use them, because they're God's words and they're God's mind and God's thinking, and we can use them. But apostolic authority is the basis sometimes. Sometimes the law of Christ, remember that? What the Lord says, what saith the Lord? What saith the Lord? The Lord only spoke on this earth 3.5 years while he was in the body, while he was on earth in the body. He only spoke three and a half years. Well, I mean, he was during his ministry is what I mean. During his ministry, he only preached and taught for 3.5 years. From the other time, the scriptures take him from his birth to being a young child, and then at 12 years old, and then, or around that, 12 years old or something like that, when he was in the temple, and then it picks up when he comes into his ministry around 30 years old. So we miss out on a lot of Christ's human life in the body. Nevertheless, the Lord, what the Lord spoke, it's law. It's law. And if you love Jesus Christ and he is your Lord, then you and we are his sons, and his servants, then well to want to do what Christ says on purpose, cheerfully, joyfully, and gladfully. Is that a word, gladfully? It is now. Sometimes the law of Christ. And what else? Well, sometimes divine illumination. God just plain old shows it to us. He shows it to us. He gives us revelation. The Lord, and that's how the Word of God really works. The Lord, from what I'm learning from the men that God has given me to learn from, to teach me His Word and teach me about how to serve God and what's right and what's wrong and how to tell the difference. The Lord reveals or gives revelation to people the more sincere they are and the more they study and get into His Word and want it and desire it. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You see, that's the thing. That's the thing. So, the Lord will show you His Word, and the Lord has, He reveals things. I mean, during the book of Acts, half of the book of Acts until chapter 11 or somewhere around 11 to 15, they didn't know anything about the New Testament. It hadn't been written yet. All they had was the Old Testament to go by. But during the book of Acts, the transition was happening from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, from blood shed from animals to Christ's blood. You see that? And the whole book of Acts is just a big old teeter-totter. It goes from one thing to another thing. It's a transitional book. And those Gospels are the ones that tell you how it happened. But until Acts 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15, somewhere around in there, the New Testament had not really kicked off yet. I mean, it was in force, but it just wasn't known about yet. So you see, the Lord gives different revelations according to how history goes, and I don't know, we're getting into a whole bunch of different lessons and stuff like that, but having to do with judgment, that God gives divine revelation and divine illumination, and that He gives it according to His will, and He'll give it to us according as we can use it. He don't dump a whole lot of spiritual things on a spiritual baby, somebody that's been born again and only been saved for a week. He don't tell them about some things because you just can't understand it until you get all the fundamentals down and all the basics down. A baby doesn't eat, you don't stick a steak or pork chop in a baby's mouth when he ain't even got teeth. you see. Just things like that. But divine illumination, sometimes the basis of our judgment is divine illumination. So what are we talking about today? Well, we're going to talk about Christian judgment and discernment specifically. Now, the things that we just went over, human judgment, and the three categories that we went over having to do with that, could be applied to unsaved people and mankind itself. But what we're going to talk about today is what we've been getting at through this whole study, and it's winding down, and it's really not that big of a basket. I mean, the Lord, when he was crucified and buried and rose again and instituted the New Testament there at the supper, at that meal that they had, and then went and put it in effect with his blood when he was crucified, the Lord really summed up all of the things of the law, the thou shalt nots, and all the do this's and do that's's and all those things. You're learning some new words, ain't you? But all these things, the Lord summed it all up. He summed it all up in the New Testament under the Pauline epistles. And Paul told, what Paul told us is what we go by. And we go by the entire book, but we're not held accountable for a lot of it in the law now, because we're under grace and we're under Christ, you see, and under the Pauline epistles. And there's a big difference in that. That's why you ought to stay in these studies, and if not these, then in some other studies that teach you these things and these fundamentals, these ABCs, and learn these things, because it'll give you joy, and it'll put you at peace about what Christ has really done for us. And you won't be distracted by what the world says. Well, I had a guy ask me today. I went for dinner with my mother and father up for Father's Day, and we went over to my brother's house, and we were sitting there, and one of my nieces, father-in-law, was there, and he found out I was a preacher, and he said, well, we was just talking about the difference in the Jews and the Gentiles. And I went, oh boy, here we and you know, I could have answered some of his question, but he basically was just talking about how to be saved, and the Lord led it in a good way to where he says, well, I just believe that that any individual or anybody that just asks the Lord to save them, I said, you got it, man. You got it. It's right there. It's between you and the Lord. And every man's going to give account of himself to God, you see. And that thing turned out pretty good. But Christian judgment and discernment. So let's talk about that a little bit. Christian judgment and discernment. Well, what about it? Well, the first thing is a Christian is, now you get these is's and is nots while we're talking about these things, okay? A Christian is to judge things in his own life and the lives of others. Now, that'd blow the whole world out of, blow their stack, wouldn't it? They wouldn't take that up. They wouldn't take that. They wouldn't listen to that for 5 minutes. And Christians don't get the opportunity to give their time on the radio and all this kind of stuff, because the Bible says things like this. A Christian is to judge things in his own life and the lives of others. Well, how do we know that? Because God's Word teaches us that. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3 through 8. The Bible says, and we read this previously, we're going to read it again. It says, for I verily, as absent in body, now this is the Apostle Paul. Remember, we're under the Pauline epistle. What Paul teaches, what Paul, Jesus showed Paul and revealed to Paul, and what Paul preaches to us through the Scriptures is what we are to go by. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit. Remember, we talked about this and what's going on here. There's a fellow in the church, in the Christian church, in the New Testament church, that's fooling around with his mother-in-law. And he got caught, and they told Paul about it, and Paul's not present there, but he writes a letter, and he tells them what to do and how he feels about it. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already. Now, wait a minute. Paul wouldn't last 5 minutes in this society, would he? He judged it already? And he's not even there? Yep, he sure did. He sure did. Have judged already as though I were present. He wasn't there, but he judged it. And God had him write it down and send it to us as doctrine. Listen to this. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. Get rid of him. That ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You see that? It ain't about thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt. I mean, that's still in effect, and that law is sending people to hell every day for rejecting Christ. Because man is under the wrath of God because of the law. But the law was given to us to show us why we needed Christ. And Paul's saying right here, under the Pauline epistle, that a Christian is to judge things in his own life. Paul always talked about judging himself and that sort of business. But in this particular scripture, he's not judging himself. He's judging this other guy. And he says, I'm judging him, and I've judged him already, just because you told me about it. And he says, here's what you do. Put him out. And make sure that the church is clean in sincerity and truth. And get rid of malice and wickedness. Get rid of it. Get it away from you. Boy, that wouldn't go over in a bunch of churches today, would it? We're supposed to love with this, whatever Jesus they're using. We're supposed to love with Jesus' love. Well, that's not Christ's love. Christ's love cleared the temple, friend, with a whip. He said, what was it the Lord said? He said something, it was burning inside of him. He says, something had eaten him up. In other words, it was driving him nuts, and he took a whip and made a whip with his own hands and went in there and turned them tables over and run them rascals out of there. Make not my Father's house a den of thieves. Spiritual. But you see that thing? A Christian is to judge things in his own life and the lives of others. Now, that was not a suggestion, and that was not if you want to, and that was not if you feel led to. That was do this. I've judged it. I'm not there, but when you gather together, assume that my spirit is there with you and judge this thing and get him out of there. And that's what they did. And that's what they did. What else? Well, a Christian is to judge things. Now, we're not talking about what the world says. We're not talking about what the committee says, or the this says, or the council says, or the board of directors says. We're not talking about all that. We're talking about what saith the Lord. And the Apostle Paul, from the God the Holy Ghost, said to judge it. judge it. Now, if Christians in a church, as an assembly, a local assembly, done things like that, then the bride would be much cleaner and would not be soaking up the worldly things and the worldly thinking and the worldly system inside the body of Christ. They would be a new lump. They wouldn't have any leaven in them. But there's leaven all over the place. Leaven all over the place, in the church, in the bride. And that's what the last days are in this Laodicean age, is apostasy. It's not the world going away from the Lord. They already been away from the Lord. It's the church apostatizing from the Lord, going away from the Lord, and taking on more filth and filth and filth. But don't let that be you and I. By God's grace, all the way to the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 through 7 says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?" He's talking about in the church assembly again. He's saying, don't you know that in the end that you're going to be talking to you and me. Don't you know that you're going to judge the world? Know ye that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? You mean you can't even discern between what's right and wrong about what happens in the assembly of the church? Nowadays, they can't. And I'll tell you why they can't. Because they don't want to. Nobody wants to point the finger. But you're not pointing a finger. You're pointing the scriptures. You see? You see that thing? You can't even tell, and society is taking over and telling you what you can tell your kids and what you can't tell your kids, what you can teach them, what you can't teach them. And blah-bitty, blah-bitty, and so as it goes. But that's not what the scripture says. When it comes to judging, dare any of you, having a matter against another, talking about Christian with Christian, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? You mean you won't bring it before the church, but you take him to court in front of a lost, unjust and a lost judge? You see, things like that. Do you not know that saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye not worthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not? Look how many times he's talking about judging something. He's not reprimanding us and reprimanding the Corinth church. He's not reprimanding them because they are judging. He's reprimanding them because they're using the wrong type of judgment. They're going before the wrong people. He's saying Christians are better judges because they have the Word of God. And you should keep that within the church and judge it. Do you not know that saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, and ye unworthy to, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? You can't even judge the smallest little bitty things, whether it's right or wrong. But it wasn't that they couldn't judge, it's that they wouldn't judge. And Paul's telling them, judge it. If then ye have judgments of these things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church. Did you hear that commandment? He said, get somebody and set them to be the judges over these matters. And he said, when you pick them, pick the least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame, Paul says. Shame about what? Shame for not judging and taking care of things. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? Did you get that? Paul said that people that judge things and clean things up are wise men. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. Paul says a wise person has the ability and the will to judge between his brethren to get things right and get the leaven out. The wickedness and the malice and all that business. And keep sincerity and truth in place. But brother goeth again, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law with one another. Why do ye not take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Just take the loss. There's a lot of doctrine in that, isn't it? But we're not talking about everything that we discuss there. We're talking about judging. Judging. Does it sound at all, the one smallest bit of inkling that Paul was saying, don't judge? Paul wasn't saying that not one time. He didn't check up about saying judging things. A Christian is to judge things in his own life and the lives of others. In that second scripture right there, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 through 7, that is all he's talking about and reprimanding them for. It's because they're not wise enough and they're not willing enough to get together and judge the bad things that are going on in the church. And he's not telling them if they want to. He's saying it's needs and necessary to be done. Do it. But you won't find that in churches today. They're called diverse churches now. We're a diverse church. And I don't recommend you go to one of them because they are diverse. I went to one because I promised a lady that I met in a VA when I was up at the hospital. And I met her, and she was a vet too, and she invited me to come to her church because we were talking about the Lord and what He had done for us and stuff like that. And she invited me to go, and I went. And they were a diverse church. And I'll tell you about that sometime, but not today. What are we talking about? We're talking about Christians' judgment and discernment. The very first thing that we're talking about is a Christian is to judge things in his own life and the lives of others. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13 through 15, judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Paul is commanding you. He didn't say do it if you want to. He said judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray to God uncovered, with her head shaved? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. Judge in yourselves. And he just got through reprimanding them for not making judgments about things in the church. And this is one of the things in the church. Women walking around with their head shaven. He said, is that comely? Judge it. Is it? What's nature teach you? That's Pauline epistle. That's not the law. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31 and 32, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen? So what have we found out? The Scripture teaches us that a Christian is to judge things in his own life and in the things of others. You're not going to get a smile from people teaching that kind of business and living that kind of business, but you will get a smile from the Lord because you're obeying Him. And it will be a lot cleaner in an assembly by judging things. What else about a Christian? What else about Christian judgment and discernment? Well, a Christian, now remember the is and is nots. A Christian is not to judge a brother as unsaved if that brother disagrees with him on minor doctrinal points of practice. There's a lot of things that go on in church because we're all of different personalities and different human beings, and boy, that just racks up the people. Let's all get together. We're all the same. We ain't nowhere close the same. God is so creative. The Lord is so creative that every single dog, cat, everything that breathes and has breath, humankind and every kind, animal kind and whatever kind, is different. Every individual is different and unique. A Christian is not to judge a brother. We're talking about Christians now. The body of Christ, the bride, the church. A Christian is not to judge a brother as unsaved if that brother disagrees with him on minor doctrinal points of practice. In other words, like cutting your hair. Now, we just went over that, and you say, well, Brother TV, what are you talking about? Well, in another place, it said that if somebody wants to fight about it, well, don't get no big stinking brawl and hold him down and cut his hair and blah, blah, blah. Just let him walk around shameful. Because Paul taught that nature teaches that if a man had long hair, it's a shame unto him. But if he wants to walk around with long hair, don't make no big and split a church over it. Let God the Holy Ghost deal with him. Because it's a shame. And the Lord said it's a shame, and nature teaches that it's a shame. And it's going to be a shame in his heart no matter how he walks around and tries to make himself think that it's something and that it's okay and good. And the same with a woman shaving her hair off or cutting her hair off. God said He'd give it to her. He'd give a woman her hair as glory. As glory. But talking about that. But you don't make no big deal of it because it's not doctrine. It's minor practice. It's practicing. Practical things. It's not doctrinal things. I mean, if they said that if you had to let your hair grow to be saved, now we're getting into some doctrinal business. You see, because that's the difference in going to hell and going to heaven. But when it comes to practical things and cutting your hair and things like that, Paul said, don't treat a brother as unsaved if he don't cut his hair. That's what he says. He's still a brother. And you disagree with him, and you show him what the Scripture says, but it's still minor. It ain't got nothing to do with doctrinal points in the Scripture. There are things that are less important in the Scriptures than other things, even though it is all God's Word. There's some things that Paul teaches us not to argue about because it'll lead to bigger things and it'll split a church. And it does. Over some of the stupidest things in the world, and especially mammon, money, and stealing. Can you imagine that? Christians stealing from God's people and God's money? You better believe it. Romans chapter 14 and verse 1 through 14. Here's some scripture. A Christian is not to judge a brother as unsaved if that brother disagrees with him on minor doctrinal points of practice. Now listen, Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Remember we talked about this. Whenever the Jews would sacrifice, or whenever the unsaved would sacrifice, they would take that meat that they sacrificed, and they sacrificed it to false gods and idols and things like that. But they'd take that meat and go down into what they called shambles. It was like a flea market down there for meat. And they'd go down there and set that meat up and sell it. Now, it's just meat. You can put it on the grill and cook it, and it's just animal meat, just like what we eat. You go to the grocery store and buy meat. And you don't know where it come from or who sacrificed that mess. Somebody could have sacrificed that cow and wrapped it up and sold it in Winn-Dixie. You don't know that. But in the shambles, they knew that some of this meat was sold. Some of it was devoted to idolatry and had been offered to Satan. And they sold the meat, but it was still just meat. And they had a discussion come up in the church about whether Christians ought to eat that or not. And this is what Paul's discussing here, okay? And he's laying it out how a Christian is not to judge a brother as unsaved if that brother disagrees with him on minor doctrinal points. And it is major to some Christians because they're not deep enough into the Word yet and understanding all the ins and outs of God's Word and rightly dividing it yet. And they haven't got a complete understanding of everything, but yet they are still Christians and they're in the body of Christ, and their walk matters more to the Lord than anything. And Paul's going to tell you that in just a minute. But it's still minor because it's only meat. But the major thing is, it's not doctrinal, because we don't go to heaven or go to hell by eating meat having to do with being sacrificed to idols. Now, it might mess up your walk and all this, that, and the other, and you trip your brothers and everything else, and it mess up your belief system and everybody else that knows you and all this kind of mess, but it's not a doctrinal point of whether or not you go to heaven or hell. It's meat, but it's very important when it comes to Christian judging another Christian as far as being unsaved or something like that, because he eats meat that was supposedly sacrificed to the devil. You see, stuff like that. Now listen to what Paul says, and he makes it very understandable and very simple. Listen to this. Him that is weak in the faith, receive you. Did you hear what he called him? This is a person that thinks that is talking about the meat down in the shambles shouldn't be eaten because it's sacrificed to idols and stuff like that. Well, you know, I mean, that's true. It's still meat, but this young Christian is very important to God and should be very important to brothers and sisters. And that's what Paul's saying. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. But not to doubtful disputations. In other words, don't get in disputes with him and make him doubt things and bring up all kinds of questions and doubts and stuff. But not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. In other words, the people that eat the meat, Christians, and the people that don't eat the meat, Christians, are all God's. God is the Lord over all of them, you see. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live, we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Let him grow. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. You see this where Paul's getting his information from? I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Makes good sense, doesn't it? A Christian is not to judge a brother as unsaved. In other words, set him at naught, put him away. Oh, he must not be saved. He's eating meat. Or he's not eating meat. If he's a brother, he's a brother. And the thing about it is some of us have grown more than others, and God the Holy Ghost has had time to teach some of us more than others. And he's still a brother. And we're not to judge each other on these minor, non-doctrinal practices. And make big arguments and disputes about it. But rather, we are to be wise and not put a stumbling block in front of our brother's way and give way that the devil can get in there and tell him some lies to where he won't serve God and might get angry or discouraged and run from God. And it cost him 20 years before the Lord can get him back to him. You see? You see how that thing works? A Christian is not to judge a brother as unsaved if that brother disagrees with him on minor doctrinal practices. Now, if it comes down to going to heaven or going to hell or this baptism matter taking communion and getting on up into what really matters and things like that, different story. All right, well, you know what? I think we're going to stop right there because we've spent a little bit of time on these first two things about Christian judgment and discernment, but we found out quite a bit so far, haven't we? A Christian is to judge things in his own life and the lives of others. Does the Bible teach that? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Read it yourself. I'm going to give you the scriptures. And when the scriptures teach us something, we're to believe it and go believing. Not question it and throw it all around and mix it all up and make it say something else and write it in another book and change the words. We're to read them as they are, for what they say. and rightly divide them and read them in the context and then read it where, and if the Pauline epistles agree with it, anything that we read in the scriptures, then we can go by it. I don't think we've read anything that's offensive, have you? I think that's a good thing, that Christians ought to judge. And they ought to judge properly. They ought to judge things in their own life and the lives of others. All right, what else have we learned today? That a Christian's not to judge a brother as unsaved if that brother disagrees with him on minor doctrinal points of practice. That's called maturity and respect and caring more for your brother in Christ, the person, his life, his person, his soul, rather than what he knows and what he does not know. That's God the Holy Ghost's business and the pastor's, and for us to not trip each other. Not trip each other. We're all running a race, and we're all on the same side, and we're not to trip each other in that race. You see that? Amen. Well, we're going to stop right there. Let me give you these scriptures for today. The first one is 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3 through 8. The second one is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. Then we read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. And then we read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31 and 32. And the last one we read for today was Romans chapter 14, verse 1 through 14. Amen. All right. Christian judgment and discernment specifically. The world doesn't understand any of this business. It's dog-eat-dog out there. Get what you can get and step on somebody's face on the way. I'm going to the top, and if I have to, and I'm going to step on as many people as I have to step on to get to the top. Well, what is the top? You find out when you get over there that the grass ain't greener on the other side. The grass ain't greener over there. I'm glad we find that out from God's Word. Ain't you? Waste all our whole life chasing after stinking money and a bank account and everything that you stack up and put in the barn and build bigger barns, and all you have to do is die and leave it here to somebody else. And got nothing to show for your life. We're going to show something for the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't we? Spend our lives giving Him glory. And have something in our life that we can hand to Him unashamedly and say, Lord, this part of my life was spent for You. Amen. God bless you for studying today with us. Thank you for your discipline. Thank you for just tolerating the enemy and long suffering. And that's part of it. So just take a deep breath and thank the Lord for what we've learned today. And let's absorb it and make it part of our life, part of our being, and do the things that are pleasing in God's sight. Amen. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one. Hope you're going to be here. Bye-bye.